Episode 4, One Step, Then Another. This episode might feature some strong language. Sorry. Watcher, 2 weeks have flown by. We are in April nearly. No, we are in April when this goes live. It's Friday and I'm back in your ear holes, or maybe I'm playing out of your smart speakers or smart devices. Yes, me on a smart speaker, would you believe? I was about to shout out the name of two of the most famous devices, but I saved both you and I, as I have one of them in my room and it would have gone off. Oh, it's all fun and games. I'm back after a week off. Sorry, there wasn't an episode last week, but due to certain reasons, it just wasn't going to happen. So thanks for your patience, and I'm back. I really loved the last DGP episode, and I wanted to start today by saying thank you for the messages that I got, saying thanks Adam for introducing people to new things in each segment of the show, and how that this show is something different to what folks are usually listening to, but they're loving it. That one really meant a lot to me. Just so you know, I do see all the comments and shares. Every person who takes the time to just do something like that really means more than you know. I also loved being able to tell people about Rachel Isabel. It was such a blessing, as I really do love and miss her, and many of you have gone on to check out her work or watch her short film, and that's what Into the Spotlight aims to allow you, the listener, to do. So it's great that it's working the way I planned. Humble boast right there. Like always, I really appreciate you all, and I really mean that. A tiny hello goes out to Ashley, Alan, Addison, and Tina, as I know you're listening to this episode, and you were my first ever listeners, so lots of love to you all. Right, as a side note, it's very windy outside my makeshift studio, aka my bedroom, so if you can hear the wind or crashes and bangs, I'm sorry. It's always when you need quiet to record something that you don't get it. Onwards to this week's episode, episode 4. I've got some little news to share in This Week in the Scene. Then after that, I plan on taking you on a journey from A-levels in a sleepy little town in the countryside to uni in the big bright city of London Town. Oh, cringe. That was terrible. I promise I'm a good actor. I promise. I'll be taking a very simplified and shortened view to talk about what I did, who I met, and what I learned. And this week's Into the Spotlight is yet another fab person I met on that journey, so stick around for that. I am sorry once again for the lack of episode, but I do have some news at the end of this episode to share that hopefully will make up for it. Without further ado, let's jump into This Week in the Scene and talk news. I think I could have made a good radio newsreader back in the day, so I'm back into news mode. First up, I want to take a very brief moment to pay my respects to the legend that was Paul O'Rady, aka Lily Savage. Sadly, Paul passed away unexpectedly the day before this recording, and will be hugely missed by lots of us. I will be talking more about Paul and his impact as Lily in a future episode all about LGBT theatre. But my love goes out to his family and his friends, and I'm sending a big hug and kiss to all the drag and queer elders, and anyone in the LGBTQIA+ community who may need it, or anyone who knew Paul or felt they knew Paul, I'm sending you the love as well. Rest in power, Lily. Rest in power, Paul. Moving on to some brighter news and some shining stars who run bar whatever. This is an event that happens on nearly every Tuesday night at the lovely and the legendary Royal Vauxhall Tavern in London. Recently, bar whatever reached an amazing milestone and turned 18 years old. So a very happy birthday. I'm very lucky to have not only seen work there on numerous occasions, but also to have performed there myself as my alter ego Adam and Eve. Bar Whatever is created and ran by Lysander Dove and Ingo Hando, and is a night of all sorts of performance, from cabaret, dance, to burlesque, spoken word, comedy, puppetry, to new emerging music artists. They really do try and cover it all, with inclusiveness at its heart. If you're ever in London and want to get a feel for the performance scene, or get a feel for what I do as a job, and have a fun Tuesday night out, get yourself tickets and see what it's all about. If you think that might be your thing, trust me, it is so welcoming. I'll pop the links in the description and we'll do all the socials in the shoutouts at the end. Next up, we need to talk about the Vault Festival in Waterloo and how it really needs your help. Hashtag Save Vaults is a campaign that's recently been created and we should all get behind. The Vaults Festival in Waterloo has helped launch numerous works and really allows people to get their work seen by audiences in its early stages, often meaning the work gets commissioned or put on a run at another venue, and it's recently, like most of the arts sector, come under some pressure and will be devastating if it's lost, so please check out the festival and see how you can lend a hand. Stepping out of the city of London and glancing over to some touring shows, we have coming up at venues like Milton Keynes Theatre, the Old John Frey Theatre, Nottingham Playhouse, Brighton Theatre Royal, and the Herb Leicester, to name just a handful off the top of my head. They have shows like An Inspector Halls, I love that play, Noughts and Crosses and Evita at the Herb, shows like The Way Old Friends Do, an ABBA-inspired show, and The Commitments at Brighton Theatre Royal, Strictly Ballroom and The Chilling 222, A Ghost Story, and many others, including shows for the young ones and families at MK Theatre. All the links will be posted on the blog. I mention theatres like these outside of London, as often this is the easiest way for people to get to see plays or musicals or some stand-up comedy, even a family panto. So Google your local event spaces, theatres, and see what's going on, and support local and touring art. Talking of touring, the Titanic musical is still out there doing its thing, and Joseph, if you're listening, I hope you and all the cast and crew are having a fab run. Also, news-wise, let me try that again. Also, news-wise, I got tripped over by my own teeth there. This week, I'm going to mention my YouTube channel. Fang. I've dropped that one. I've popped some recent covers from a performance piece idea I'm working on, and if you want to hear my vocals in a more sung manner, head over there and check them out. You know where I'm going to put the channel link by now. Next, on to podcast news. If you're enjoying my podcast, here's some others I personally enjoy. Newly launched by voice actor and YouTuber Joel Wood and his partner, rugby player and personal trainer Ian Hurst, Happy Healthy Homo explores misconceptions surrounding gay dating and the modern gay lifestyle. Next, you could also either listen to the episode Black Voices in British Theatre, put out by the National Theatre London, or, because I mentioned it last week, if you want a mix of terrible, and I mean that in the best way, erotic fiction and a lot of belly laughs, you can binge listen to every season of My Dad Wrote a Porno, as it's one of the most downloaded and listened to podcasts probably ever. So go listen to Jamie Morton, Alice Levine and James Hooper dissect the works of Rocky Flintstone. Check all these podcasts out wherever you get your podcasts, like Acast, Apple and Spotify. We're nearly done with this week in the scene, so last news. It was announced last week that the incredible Eater O'Brien, who I put in episode 2's spotlight, is going to launch the first ever degree of intimacy coordination in collaboration with the drama school Mountview London. She gave an interview to paper or magazine, I don't know how you would describe it, Metro, talking all about it. And of course, that will be linked for you to have a read. It's such inspiring news. Congratulations, Ita. Lastly, if you're a fan of the pictures, head on down to Instagram and check out at minds.apint. If you're a human with a passion for real ale, that account is run by Kevin Young with content added by Mike Weeks. More theatre Insta news. Just launched it at Upper Hand Theatre Co. It's worth checking out. If raising the voices and works of female and non-binary actors matters to you, they're a new company created by actor Emma Reeses, as well as Lisa Mingello and Laura Fitzpatrick. And I'll be talking more about them and maybe even have one of the founders on the podcast very soon. Wow, it feels like I've jumped to the social shout-outs already. You haven't skipped to the end, I promise. But everyone I'm mentioning is really putting out some amazing work on Insta this week. And to round off, if you like content such as street interviews, or if you're just a fan of short-form content, check out at Matt Selwood. He makes some amazing content and is very open on topics such as health anxiety, mental health and relationships, and is someone I've been getting to know recently, so go give him a follow. He makes some lovely stuff and is a really lovely fella. And we are done. Thank you for listening to the news. And I'll now let real Adam out of the cage and put newsreader Adam back in the box. That was everything from this week in the scene. That was a hearty chunk of news this week, but totally worth it. I always like to learn something new every day, and I know that sounds cliche, but I do. Being able to provide others the chance to hear about things is amazing. Please send me a DM or comment if you want me to talk about anything in future episodes, and it can be anything creative at all, not just performance hymns, it can be social media, it can be music, it can be art, it can be photography, whatever. Anything you want to talk about, let me know and I'll talk about it. There's no such thing as something small, so let me know. Transitioning from news and into today's subject matter, education. It's time to walk down memory lane again to drama school. I'm sure if you all had a pound for every time I've mentioned it in just 3 episodes, you'd be pretty well off by now. But the time has come to talk about RCSSD. I never really thought drama school would be an option for me, because they are pretty expensive and often scholarships are limited. Drama schools were, and sadly still are, somewhat very exclusive in ways that often favour those who have been doing acting, etc. as a child at children's drama schools like Sylvia Young, etc. I auditioned for them all, practically. I went to Arts Ed, Mountview, RADA, etc. And then my last audition in the gem that was Royal Central School of Speech and Drama came along, and I never looked back. It was perfect. It was the first time I felt like I had fit in, and the first time I left the audition with a smile. I remember walking down the steps to my mum and my ramps and smiled. It was such a great day. So I'm an educated waffler, really, and was very lucky to get the chance to go to university in general. And thanks to Central being part of the University of London, I was able to afford to go. Now, taking you back many years ago, that makes me sound really old and older than I am. How terrible is that? To filling out my UCAS application and personal statement for university and auditioning for drama schools. I know most people listening from the UK will remember the stress that UCAS can cause. A shout out, and then another shout out so early to my best friend Ashley, as I know both you and I went through it at the time. It was a rough time, but we did it, and I love you. So you have filled in and submitted. The next thing for me was to audition for universities and drama schools. In my opinion, auditions for these kind of establishments, uni and drama school, are really hard and are often overly terrifying. I remember getting my monologues and songs ready and running them for months before going to the auditions. And the way auditions are set up, or they were when I was doing them, you don't get to show everything you've prepared And I know it's a timing thing trying to see X amount of people in one day, but I feel you should see what everyone has to offer across dance, singing and acting, and then make the decisions on who to cut. As anyone who knows me knows, I can dance, but I wasn't busting out the rangettes and triple pirouettes into the splits. I was a working class kid in my dance gear and trainers, not a Pineapple Dance Studios unitard to be seen on me anywhere. And I was often shoved to the back due to my last name being in with a W. So what I'm trying to say to anyone who may be listening and running any type of audition in the future, try and make them fair and accessible, please. Ramble about auditions, semi over. My last audition and my last chance, it felt like in a way, led me to a Root audition workshop where I spent nearly all day collaborating and making incredible pieces of installation art. If you don't know what installation art is, I suggest you head to the internet and have a Google, because there'll be some brilliant examples. With everyone applying for theatre practice, that was the course umbrella, we were all there. So I was in an audition with people who were designers, makers, costume designers and constructors, lighting designers, all sorts. And after working with them, I went on to have a one-on-one section of my audition with my course tutor, Maddie. It was a long and tough day, but really rewarding at the same time. Although I didn't know it that day, I met one of my future housemates, Rachel. So not only did it prove exciting, and spoiler alert, I got into the uni, but I also met her again later and moved in with two other theatre practice students, and we became the Fleetwood Four. Did everyone have a nickname for your house or student halls when you went to uni? I know we weren't the only one. So it's time to open chapter one on year one as a performance arts student at Central. Year one was where the bonds of friendship were built between me and my classmates. We were a small cohort from all over the place, and I missed them all terribly. We created works together, and we made solo works, and I'm not going to rattle them all off, lucky for you, but we'll just touch on some that have really stuck with me. As I spoke about when I put her into the spotlight, Ita and her movement classes will always stay with me. I remember a bunch of students just getting to know each other, thrusted into black tights and tight tops. Yes, they are as flattering as they seem. Doing yoga and moving around to some music like we had 100 volts pulsing through us. It was hilariously awkward, but amazing. It kind of got us over that awkward hurdle and we felt that we could be ourselves around each other. And Ita, being the lovely woman that she is, often let whatever happen, happen. And by that, I mean falling asleep and snoring out loud during meditation and yoga. I won't mention any names here apart from Maggie, Jonas. I love both of you. You snored the house down the first time we ever did meditation and yoga. It was brilliant. Movement broke up the heavy amount of text-led lectures we were having and were for a chance for me to get my musical theatre twinkle toes out and dance my heart out. If anyone wants to take me dancing, I'll await your invite in the DMs because I love dancing. A quick whiz onto two more projects from year one. In year one, we also did a project called the London Waltz Project. It was a chance for all strands, so all different types of courses, of theatre practice to work together and to teach each other. I'm tripping over my teeth today. Transferable skills. I'll try that again. The London Waltz Project was a chance for all strands of theatre practice to work together and teach each other transferable skills. Nailed it. So I was painting sets, designing lighting, learning about sound design. I remember my Root stage manager, Sam, saw some real turf for our art installation. That meant us driving from Swiss Cottage to Dadnam East to visit a lady called Julie for a free grass. And not that type of grass. Every day was a different day at uni. Head to my Instagram as I'll be posting some more pictures from the London Watts project there after this episode goes live. Another collaborative project we worked on was a piece called 14 Chapters, an immersive performance piece where we took over Swiss Cottage Library. It was madness. So many people complaining that we were in the way or we were damaging books, or we weren't. But Swiss Cottage gave me and my best friend Maggie a performance credit, our first, as they loved our dance piece that we did as part of 14 Chapters, so they asked us back. And if you were super lovely, I might share the link to that video, or I might not. Who knows? Hit up my DMs or leave me a comment. One done, and on to two. I told you it would be very quick, because one, uni was a long time ago. I graduated in 2016. And also, I've had my brain fried by radiation since then, so I'm a little bit yaps in my memory. So, year two. We moved into doing placements in year two, which for performers like me was really hard. I couldn't just rock up to a theatre and say, "Oh, hello, I'm a performance artist at Royal Central. Can I do a placement in your show? I really love Wicked." You know, so often a lot of us had to opt for doing a personal project, and that's just what I did. This was where I worked with today's Into the Spotlight feature. I got my second professional credit, so stick around to the end to hear all about that. We also spent second year doing a mixed media project, and we also created and launched Dice Festival. During the mixed media project of second year, I really worked up my skills with photography. As we did a collaboration with performance art and live art photographer Manuel Vasson. I remember it as clearly as anything. We were in the basement of the old Theatre Delhi building in Farringdon, and there's me, covered in dust and white polystyrene balls and Vaseline, it's about as sexy as it sounds, with my shirt off, just to get a picture. The things we do for art, huh? Granted, it's an amazing picture, and I will be sharing that on my Instagram, but if you want to see it before then, the picture is up on my portfolio site. It was so cold down there. Oh, chilly. Also, during the mixed media project, I remember one lecture we had was about body casting, where we were all mod rocking and alginate casting like mad people. Some even did a cast of people's faces, when I am sure we really shouldn't have been doing that. Can we please have a moment of silence for the many eyebrows we lost that day? For safety reasons, please don't cast your face or the face of anyone else, it's silly. But YOLO, right? We were radical art students, so fuck the rules, fuck the warnings on the side of the packet. We don't care. And many people lost their eyebrows. It was a very traumatizing time. As I mentioned in episode one, year two was also the time that Marissa Carnetti helped me create Adam and Eve. And if you want to see me doing my thing, just put in Adam and Eve drag into YouTube or follow my social media account. In year one, my class were ushers to a long-running festival put on by numerous second-year students called the Accidental Festival at the Roundhouse in Camden. It was pretty cool working shifts and helping out and seeing work from all over the world. Accidental Festival, the Roundhouse, was sadly scrapped by our new head of year, Danny, which at the time we as a class were a bit annoyed by, but it did allow us to work with the company Performance Space and artist-producers Bean and Benjamin. And Dice Festival was born. Dice is something that I will always be so proud of. It was three nights of performance in cabaret, with one headliner each night, given an hour to shine, and then six performers were at the mercy of a roll of the dice and the mercy of our host Daniel Oliver. Each performer was given a number, 1 to 6, and then the audience rolled a dice down the runway to see who would perform. It was random, it was fun, and on opening night, you guessed it, I was the first and last to roll. Talk about pressure. Not only was I running the festival, I was performing it. It's a festival of utter chaos, and it is beautiful. Now, most of us stepped away from the festival, but it still exists. So go check out at DiceFest on socials to see what they're up to nowadays. We have zipped through year two. Wow, one and two done. Now on to three. Two done, and now on to three. In year three, it was the year of realizing we'd made so much work. We'd made so much progress and come so far, but then instantly panic as the bubble of university and drama school was going to come to an end. During my third year, I was making dry act ideas and was also assistant director and producer on the theatre piece Love and All That Crap at the Hope Theatre. That one is a bittersweet memory for me, but I'm still proud of the work I created. Third year was also the time I came out as non-binary to my classmates, which was amazing and equally as terrifying. And I have an episode all about queerness and transness in the arts coming very soon. Third year, we performed our showcase at the amazing Hackney Showroom, and it was the first time my family got to see me doing drag, the first time they got to see what I've been working on for the past 3 years. It was so beautiful, and those videos are on YouTube, on both the channels I've mentioned. It was also a swan song to say thank you to Central. Look what we've done, aren't we amazing? Because we are amazing. So with amazing in my mind, it's time for a roll call of some of the people I met over the 3 years. This list isn't everyone, but just a handful of those who mean something to me or stuck in my memory. From years 1 to 3, I met a lovely dub barking in the background. From years 1 to 3, I met... Oh wow, come on puppy. If you can't hear that, there is a dog full on going for it outside my studio space. Shall I try once more? From years 1 to 3, I met Marissa Carneski. Head to episode 1 for the full rundown about her. Danny Plosier, the new head of my course, and he introduced himself to all of us on theatre practice in a very unique way by showing us his latest project, and fair to say, he was naked. Yep. Very, very naked. Next, we have Maddie Trigg, the queen of bodies in space and allowing us to make a mess with casting materials. So maybe she's to blame for the face and lack of eyebrows. Deanna Damian Martin, the tutor that not only had an understanding for all of us, but had her finger on the pulse of the performance arts world. She's an incredible activist and an incredible critic as well as tutor. Lucy Ellenson was an actress who came in as a guest lecturer. She's also a performance artist and has an amazing CV and someone who I had a great instant connection with. If you see Lucy's name on a show poster, I would advise going to see it. Susan Butler. Susan is a writer, artist and dramaturg. She thinks a lot about youth and old age, solitude and community in her works, and was kind of a guiding light for us towards the end of our time at Central. During my time at Central, I was lucky to meet members of, as they were known at the time, the Family Fierce. That's people like Meth, Maxi Moore, Bourgeoisie, Ruby Wednesday, amazing drag and queer performers, and many various performance artists along the way. There are so many people to list, I'd be here for hours. So lastly, I'll just mention Xavier de Sousa, I think I said that wrong, an amazing live art producer and activist. I would 100% recommend checking out what he stands for, and the work he does is always amazing, and he's super cute and lovely, so definitely worth a follow, and sorry for butchering your name first time around. I'm just tripping over my teeth today. Teeth, there we are. I'm not even going to be able to edit half of this out. That's it, 3 years crammed into a tiny little segment. Shut up, Adam. It's hard to really condense what happened over those years into one episode, but allowed me to work and create and discover. I met and lived with three ladies who made up the Fleetwood Four. I worked out what student living was all about, the ups and downs that went with it. And all of us, we learnt how to do this living away from home thing for the very first time. It was the first time for me experiencing real love in the city, falling for some beautiful guys, one or two I'm still in contact with, like my first ever out and proud partner Gavin. I love you loads. You were so special and are still so special to me. Uni is a whirlwind, but one I wouldn't give back, and one that I hope every person in the younger generation who wants to go gets to experience. We've made it, folks. Well done us. That was my ramble, and I say ramble, about me getting a degree. To stop talking about me, let's put the amazing Dominic Powell into the spotlight. As I alluded to when talking about placements, Dom was in the year above me at Central and was paired with me as my peer mentor when I started, something that was really taken seriously by everyone on my course. That was sarcasm, just to clarify. But in my case, it gave me not only a great friend, but a collaborator. I'm so grateful to know Dom and to have shared so many amazing memories. To be a bit more official, I'm going back into quote mode. You ready? Here we go. Dominic Powell is a performer, creative and producer based in London. Following training at prestigious schools such as the Brit School and the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama, Dominic has created and developed a wide range of musical theatre and television series, including Haces, Date 1 to 10, Legend and Rosemary Lane. End quote. I just think this man is writing some of the most amazing musical pieces out there, and we really should be supporting the new talent as well as the classics. We first worked together on Date 1 to 10, the musical. It was an incredible musical that mixed singing, movement and spoken word to tell the stories of two lovers. The show featured performing talents such as Jessica Singer, Daniel Donskoy, Ari Bland, Pippa Winslow, Laura Hyde, Remy Rayum, I believe she is now, sorry if I'm wrong, I will correct that, William Atkinson and Harina Waddell, who are all doing amazing stuff, so go check them out. It was the first time I met and worked with actor and director Benjamin Edward Victor, and my bestie Maggie was along for the ride as the show's producer. It was my first official credit whilst I was at uni, and it means so much to me. Dom and I shared a bond where I could visualise what it is he wanted the story to tell and helped him get that off of the page and onto the stage. I also did numerous bits of dramaturgy for his shows. His works include Rosemary Lane, a retelling of the famous story of Jack and Jill, Cases, a show exploring intellectual property rights. Many videos of this show are up on YouTube. And also, their whole cast album is out on Spotify. Dom is always championing black voices with his work and his castings. And I've said it once, and will keep saying it, representation matters. It was thanks to Dom I met actors like Heber El Sheikh, and like always, I urge you to just get all up in his business. Listen, share, and enjoy his work. Thank you, Dom, for all you do, and for all you did for me. I love you lots, mate. Well, won't you come up and hear all about it? It's the ever-useful social shout-outs. So that's it for today's episode. Another one is in the can. I'm still feeling the love, and it's so special to be able to shout out people and talk about all these amazing things. So I know it's funny how often I bang on and repeat myself, but checking out people I mention, you never know what you might find or learn. And that's pretty special. So before I go, you can find me on Instagram. If you're a fan of the pictures, hit up at @actor_weeps. And if you like pictures of me and Dry, find me on @AdamandEve_Dry. That is, as always, an N with an M. On Twitter, I can still be found at @actor_weeps. If you follow me there, I'll be sure to follow you back. My full work portfolio is online at www.adam-weeps.com. And the link to my YouTube that I mentioned in this episode is in the description and on the blog. Listen closely as here comes everyone else. From the news this week, you can find Ita O'Brien on Instagram at @ItaO'Brien_, Twitter at @ItaOB. The Metro link to the article I was speaking about will be linked on the blog. Bar Whatever is on Instagram and Twitter, with both handles being at @BarWhat, that's BARWOT, and search Bar Whatever, so that's WOTEVER, on Facebook too, and give the page a like. All ticket and show information can be found there. To recap the Instagrams from this week in the scene, the following handles. We've got at @mines.apint, that's @MINES.APINT, for those who appreciate fine ales. At Upperhand Theatre Co, UPPERHANDTHEATRECO, for female and non-binary empowerment in theatre. At Max Selwood, that's MASSELWOOD, for short form content and street interviews and just lovely vibes. Don't forget to check out the hashtag SaveVaults and get your voice included in saving this great performance festival event. The louder we shout and the more we do, the more hope and chance there is for a good outcome. Today's incredible In the Spotlight feature can be found online at various handles, such as on Instagram, at @HacesLDN, at @LoveReviewUK, or for posts from Dominic himself, follow at @DominicPowell94. That's DominicPowell94. The link to the Haces album will be linked in the normal place, or alternatively, search Haces the Musical on Spotify. Lastly, I think his company page is still active on Facebook, so give Pioneer Arts Limited a search if Facebook is your thing, or head to his Linktree posted you know where, and find out all the information you need. All that's left to say is, I've been Adam, you've been you, thanks for listening, be lucky, and lots of love. Bye-bye.
Dramatically Daydreaming, the podcast, is a Movie Soon production. All rights reserved. For more information, please visit the Acast website.